Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. We coolin' out. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. We coolin' out.
Welcome back to Cool Now. So I actually was trying to make a sound, and I failed, so I just stopped. I act like I didn't know we were recording, but I knew we were. I just let it show, like, oh, we're recording? That did not come out as planned. In my head, it sounded better.
I mean, it came out pretty cool. You made that loud. Whoop!
Wait till you hear that shit back. I'm about to edit that shit. Welcome back to Cool Now, everyone.
Kev.
Sal.
Rel. We have a special guest this week.
We have... Oh!
One of our really good friends from college. I don't even know what to call you. Let you just introduce yourself. But this is Bori. Everyone say hi to Borian. Borian, say hi to the people.
Hi, people.
I promise
I'm not
12. I just sound like that. You wouldn't be up here. You know, I don't need no cases. So how you doing? How have you been? I haven't seen you in a long time.
I'm great. So happy to be here, guys.
Through.
Yeah, it's so funny to connect after college to be here.
Yeah, I know, because I feel like you don't even know who we are anymore.
Yeah, we catch up about two times a year.
You get to the room like, you out here living the fast life, around these streets. I'm like, nah, that's not me.
No, I was telling her.
I feel like you always say that, though. And then
Time out. First,
look, for the loyal listeners, we mentioned once that we went to a girl's house named Bori way back when we started.
Way back.
This
in
is her.
November?
In November.
Yes.
And a lot's changed.
Yes.
Since then.
I was living back then. But I ain't living no more.
If you say so.
You know what's funny, Bori? I live too far from you. Well, not anymore, but I used to live very close to you.
In Brooklyn?
Yeah.
She lived in East New York, too?
Yes, sir.
What?
Her apartment's nice.
I'm gonna tell that story really fast though.
Go ahead.
When we came to your house, what did we come to your house for?
Julia was over.
Why did we come there?
I think it's like Julia.
Why did we come there?
You invited Jarell and I over for dinner.
Thank you! Yo!
You were like, Mama, you're the Nova.
I'm gonna edit all this shit out. Damn. You talk about me being I'm about to get home to a detective. Soon the podcast drop. What's your phone passcode?
I heard what you said on the podcast.
Yes. Damn.
Anyway, I invited you to.
Yes. No. So I drove over there, and I didn't know where to park. Nothing looked safe.
Nothing.
There was no one walking around. There was no street lights. Nothing.
You're exaggerating.
Boy, there's not a street light.
Yeah, the further up that block you go.
And you live on
a
dead
end.
Exactly. And you're the last house on the dead end. It's like, oh, this is nice. It's really nice on the inside, though. If you can make it.
You have to be some worthy. Happen, but...
So what?
Yeah,
nothing. Some weird things happen.
I thought you said some drug things.
I did.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I can see that. But enough about that, Bori. Talk to the people. Just give them like a quick little... Hey, I'm Bori. This is who I am.
Job.
Hold that mic.
Job or what? Where do I start?
Since you're
whatever jumps to mind.
Oh my God, I'm Bori. I did your next.
Yeah, who are you?
I'm from this place.
I love black bib.
Oh, no.
You call me.
You gotta get back. Happy
to
be
back. Well, you can't even say nothing. If you say you don't like black bib, it sounds racist.
Word. Let's just move forward.
Okay, my name is Boriana. I'm 26, originally from Bulgaria. I moved to New York.
Bulgaria?
It's funny, everyone knows me as Boriana from Bulgaria, I feel like. I went to St. John.
Yeah. You know who you are.
Forgot my life for a second, yeah. I moved here maybe now 7 years ago to go to St. John's. That's how I met you cool people. And got my bachelor's there, an MBA, and now I work at an event marketing agency here in New York.
Oh.
Not really, but it's fun, it's fun. It's so funny because I like love my job. This is my full-time job, and then in the evenings I coach rhythmic gymnastics, little kids between age of 6 and 16. And then I also work in a Bulgarian school on Sundays, so pretty busy. No, I don't have time to watch shows or.
That's good. You just have to get dedicated.
I hope to squeeze in the
because I'm a Netflix guy.
Yeah.
I gotta make time for that. But that gymnastics class that you
mm-hmm.
teach, is that the same group of girls that you took down in North Carolina when I met you?
Yeah. It's the
cool.
same girl that I've been working with for now 4 or 5 years, and it's so incredible to watch them grow and like. Recently came back from a big competition, a qualifier competition, where one of our girls qualified for nationals in level 10, which is basically the higher.
You have to be chosen to make it, and we kind of went there, like, not hoping at all for anything. We were just like, okay, girl. We actually had a special conversation with them, like, okay, girls, we know you're not going to qualify, but just go for the experience. And one of them just, like, ended up qualifying and doing a really great job, and we were so proud because that was kind of like a milestone for our club because we're a very small club
mm-hmm.
in Queens, and it's great to like have our first gymnast to be level 10. It's so inspiring for the little ones to know like, okay, I can be like Sherry, I can
mm-hmm.
be like her. We you know, we've gotten to that level, so I can get there.
Got
so it's really great. Yeah, it's been wonderful to work with mm-hmm. it.
Okay.
They're really sweet.
So yeah. Kev wanted to talk about where you want to start? Meditation, spirit. You had a couple of things on your list.
Okay. Fun fact for the listeners.
Okay.
Jarrell, Borian, and I used to be what partners in poverty.
Yes.
Poverty. So we all
was real.
For work study. But no, I find it interesting. You're very spiritual now, and you're like the only person I know our age group who decided to just shun all toxins, alcohol, gone. You went vegan. And I just found that very interesting.
Yeah.
About why you'd make that decision.
Yeah.
That too. Yeah.
Yeah, you was out there partying with us. Iguanas.
We got
Tuesday.
The receipts.
Kevin is
so
still saved in
there.
My phone. Kevin is still saved in my phone, this stoop kid. Because we used to just sit on the stoop at my house and just drink 40s. Forever.
Come a long way. It's tea now, for the way.
Yes.
It's tea.
Earl Grey.
Yeah.
Earl Grey only. But yeah, so what sparked that? What made you?
I don't know. I think just life happened and situations happened. People are brought to your life that change your life, change your perspective. Experiences happen. I think for me it was a combination of things, and I think. I mean, you guys know about my father, and not to like bring this conversation to a different, you know, topic and not so negative, not so positive note, but my father moved to America, I think 3 years ago, and he had pretty bad stage cancer. So he passed away. So that was kind of like one of the turning points where I felt like, you know, a few things I felt. I felt like we're not here forever and we need to make the most out of this life. I realized how we are, you know, fighting this like ego battle every day amongst our families, amongst our friends, in our jobs, like trying to prove ourselves as an identity, as a personality, as an ego. And then so quickly I watched my father, people came, they put him in a bag and zipped it up and he was gone. And within 20 seconds, my whole world just like turned around and is like, all that we fight for, all of this that we like try to prove ourselves, I'm better than you, I'm bigger than you, I'm more than you, we all end up in the same bag. Like we all ended up under the zipper. And that was like a really kind of like a turning point for me. That was one. And then, I don't know, I think just kind of the whole partying, the drinking, it all felt the same after a while, like doing it. I think it was great that I used to go out a lot and dance a lot and, you know, party a lot. And was never such a huge drinker because I have zero tolerance. Like, I drink a Corona, I'm like, ah, yay.
I'm worried.
Happy, happy, happy. Yeah, but, yeah, that was, it just kind of all became the same. It was, it lost meaning, it lost purpose, and when I stopped drinking and continued to go out, I realized how much of us, how many, you know, a lot of us are using alcohol and going out and all this thing to hide behind our problems and hide behind insecurities and trying to heal ourselves when we really aren't. We're creating more problems and kind of going deeper into problems instead of like solving them. I think it was also, I was very fortunate and I feel blessed and great, you know, grace or whatever you want to call it. Like people just were brought to my life that led me to that path, like showed me a lot of things. And you guys may kill me for saying this, but psychedelics also helped.
Woo!
So it all kind of culminated.
Which ones?
Whatever you're comfortable with sharing.
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I am a huge advocate of psychedelics, and I don't think they should be considered drugs, and I don't think they should be banned.
Why?
We not record this.
Huh?
No. Why? Because there's a reason why they're banned, because they help people see the truth. They help people be free and happy and push past their... I don't know what to call it, like to stop identify as individuals, as separate beings from others, to like, we're so confined in like, oh, I'm me and I'm this body and I'm the role, you know. That's why when you're like, introduce yourself, it's like, okay, I can tell you the color of my hair, I can tell you my age, I can tell you my sign, my birthplace, my job, my hobbies, but does that define who I am? That's why I always find it like difficult, like, you know, on those websites when they ask you like, write about yourself or describe yourself. Like I have that on Couchsurfing or Airbnb.
Yeah.
And like I wrote something 5 years ago and recently I logged into my Airbnb and I read and I'm like, ew, what did I write? Like, I like biking and like stupid things where you think like you write what people want to see about you. Like what you want people to know about you, what you want people to perceive you. Mm. Anyway, so whatever.
No.
So it's that kind of like, it was one summer where it was the partying and the going out and that kind of, I got fed up from that. And then the following summer felt like it was the culmination with experiencing a few, you know, I've taken LSD and shrooms. And then the summer after that, I ended up going to Brazil and drinking ayahuasca, which is the most incredible experience. I recommend to everyone, and it's really eye-opening. I had it there with shamans and with an entire group of people. I spoke no Portuguese. I knew probably one person or five people somewhat at the group, and it was great. It was truly liberating and magic, 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 magic. So that kind of is what changed my
I have so many questions right now.
In summary.
Do you care if I ask you questions?
No, go ahead.
I need to be comfortable speaking.
Yeah. Sherry, let the cat out the bag.
Which was your favorite?
I really liked ayahuasca because it's a very, it's an interesting plant that you almost feel, like it almost feels like if you drink it, it never leaves your body. It almost feels like it's a plan that takes you under its wing. I know it sounds crazy, but it's, and you have to respect it, right? Like I've seen people drink ayahuasca that kind of consider it, yeah, it's psychedelic, I'm gonna get high and I'm gonna see all these cool colors and I'm gonna feel fine.
Yeah, that's the perfect point. Yeah, bro.
Yeah, bro, exactly. And then it's so funny because if you go with that attitude, the plant will show you, like, you have to have so much respect. These are really ancient plans that these are ancient rituals and ceremonies that have been done for thousands of years by shamans in the rainforest that you have to have respect for the plant. Otherwise, you just, it's like someone comes and smacks you five times in the face and you're like, holy shit, like what just happened? And you see your whole life in a lens and everything. And you know, I drank ayahuasca with a few addicts or ex-crack addicts because crack is a huge thing in South America. And they healed. That's the only really proven drug, if you will, that helps people overcome. Well, it's not a drug because it helps you overcome drug abuse, but whatever you want to call it. I don't know, a medicine, a treatment that helps addicts. It's the only proven substance.
So
when I was drinking with one of those addicts, like, he had a really tough experience. Like, during the 6 hours that you're kind of like in the force of it, you know, it's something what they call limpeza. So sorry to the listeners, but you throw up sometimes. And he was having a really hard time, like his body was shaking and he was really, and you can tell it's like him just like cleansing and like realizing what he was doing to his body with crack. And it's something that stayed in his body. And despite the fact he's no longer an addict, it still energetically is in his body and it's like constantly reminded. And that's how they really are cured. When you drink ayahuasca, you're pretty much shown what you do to your body. So when I came back from Brazil, I like had no more desire to drink alcohol. It just felt like I don't want to do it. It subconsciously in a ceremony, I saw that alcohol is not good for me. It just like showed me what it does to my body. And I speak for myself. Like, I don't think that there's anything wrong with drinking alcohol as long as it's not abused. I just speak for myself. I was just telling Kevin that I've been sober for 3 years now and
wow.
And went to Paris for my birthday and felt like, you know what, I'm in Paris, I'm 26, I'm blessed. I'm going to celebrate my birthday with a glass of Chardonnay. And it felt like I'm not cheating myself because I want to do things because I don't want to drink alcohol because I just don't want to. Not because I told myself I'm no longer going to drink alcohol. You know what I mean? Like, gotcha. You're not putting a barrier on yourself, like saying, I'm going to be this kind of person. Because in an effort to not be defined, you're defining yourself again.
Already.
You're just defining yourself as a...
Oh, shit. I didn't know this was going to be like
that. We got that putting the NBA to you.
She's like, I'm going to be nervous. But yeah.
Dr. Bory Nash. I'm nervous. But as I was saying, in my scholarly article I wrote...
Drinking the ayahuasca.
All right.
No, go ahead. Oh, it was very eye-opening. Wow. I wasn't ready. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, that's it. That's really why and how my... I think it wasn't intentional. It's just like life happened. It was never something that I want to experience. I never wanted to go to Brazil and experience ayahuasca or psychedelics. It's just life happened, and I was led through those experiences, and I'm very grateful.
How did that feel, having that first glass of wine? And
it felt
years,
good,
I suppose.
Yeah, it felt good. It was great. I was happy. It felt great. And again, it felt like I'm not cheating myself. It felt like, you know what? I'm free. And I don't know. It was my birthday. I was in Paris. Come on now.
I'm parched.
You've been on the set for 10 minutes. Already talking about you being in Brazil, being in Paris. Okay.
That's fine.
Trying to get that passport tatted up. I see you.
Yeah.
But how does this change been on your other friends? Or have you lost friends?
I guess I kind of stopped talking to a certain group of friends. Not intentionally. It just... relationships fell apart and others became stronger and naturally, and that happens regardless. I mean, we're all changing. Like, look at us, like 4 years ago, what were we doing? And look at us now. We don't want to talk about us 4 years ago.
Yeah, this is being recorded. Yeah.
My mama listened to this.
So yeah, we're always changing, always evolving. And that was another thing that I guess I wanted to mention when I was mentioning my father, is that the thing that helped me get through the, you know, the pain and kind of the emotion and watching your father suffer and be in pain and being completely helpless, because you're watching someone fight such a you know, horrible disease and you're absolutely helpless, is kind of like reminding myself, like, this too shall pass, like, everything is passing, and really seeing the, I always forget, temporality of things, like how everything is passing, how everything is just like coming and going, mm-hmm. like almost like a movie, like there's just, you're the one watching your life and there's like constant screens switching and things are coming and going, mm-hmm. and it's all that there is. So that really helped me in that stage, is like handle pain and kind of like the tough time, is to think that this is not going to last forever. There's no way this pain lasts forever. Like, from 10 years from now, I'm not going to feel the pain with the same strength that I'm feeling the pain now. Mm-hmm. And it's even better. You know, 2 years now have passed, and the pain is no longer there. I mean, there's just, like, a good memory of my father. And it helped me put things in perspective in my life, you know, going through, like, tough times in school, whatever. Like, you're always reminding yourself, like, this shall pass. Everything will pass. Mm-hmm. But yeah, with my friends, definitely some relationships that I, you know, people that I used to go out with a lot, I no longer was able to keep in contact with as much, because there was no interest there. We had different interests. Mm-hmm. With others, it became stronger because it's so funny because, you know, how, you know, we're mirrors for each other, and what you seek is seeking you. That's my favorite thing. What you seek is seeking you. So if you're seeking like peace and meditation, Kevin, Jarrell is confused.
What happened, Jarrell?
Boy read a Buddha book once. Just like got mad quote, was about to drop on them. Go ahead.
No,
damn.
No, Kevin knows this is my favorite quote. I've mentioned this to you before.
What you are seeking is seeking you.
What you seek is seeking you. Wow. And it's true. Like, what you're projecting, what you're putting out there in the world is coming back to you. You're attracting. Naturally, you're attracting. So, of course, if I was searching for spirituality or, like, some kind of clarity on that level, or meditation or peace or more, like, calmness in the soul instead of the, wow, like.
Yeah. What song is that?
That's Drake. I'm kidding.
That's not Drake. You take that back.
Yeah, that was on time. Let that slide.
So, yeah. Some friends, I was brought a different, you know, for example, Stephanie, currently my VP, funny enough. My coworker, but also one of my best friends. Like, we went to St. John's together. She was in our school, but I was never close with her. She ended up going to Brazil, and after kind of like this little metamorphosis, if you will, like a little change in my life, somehow we were brought together, and I brought a joke to her, like, "Hey, are you guys hiring?" And next thing you know, like 3 months later, three interviews later, I was in her company working, and now we are day in and out. We're together, and we're really good friends. And that was because she went to Brazil, and she's Brazilian, her father is Brazilian, and
she had the ayahuasca.
She didn't. She never did. But
she's crazy. Yeah, you made it.
No, it is because it's too easily accessible to
her. Yeah.
It's just nothing to her.
Oh, that's all right. No. Never mind.
No, but it's true. It's interesting. Like, people, I love Brazilians. So if there's any Brazilian listeners,
shout to y'all. You just blow kisses at the mic.
She was scared of it at first.
now she's kissing it, right? She was 5 feet away from before.
Shit, we told you, you're not going to be nervous.
Blowing kisses at it.
For Brazilians.
But that's funny, though, because when you like make changes in your life, and as we get older, you start to see who your real friends are, though. Mm-hmm. Because, for example, I'm not calling about anybody out, but like, I've had friends who I used to go out with all the time, nonstop. But when you stop going out as much, you realize like you guys just stop talking as much, because it's like you really have nothing else to talk about except for, oh, what are you doing this week? What are you doing this weekend? Are you going out tonight? What are you doing tonight? And the conversation just becomes so stagnant because it's based just on us going out together.
Mm-hmm. And then after the weekend, it's like, holy shit, we were so drunk. Yo, man, what happened?
And then do
like
a damn thing productive.
Yep.
Yeah.
Life.
I mean, again, like, for example, I went, when I was home in Bulgaria this summer, I went out because my friends were going out and we're celebrating someone's birthday or whatever. Like, actually, I brought my mom, I think. We went to a piano bar.
Your mom's mad cool.
Yeah. So we were out until 3 or 4 in the morning dancing. Right. So, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with going out, but it has to be with some, you know, limit.
Limit.
Exactly. And, like, have fun, you know? It's a lot of people go out just to go out.
I feel like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, if you after 12 o'clock, if you out after 12, I feel like you just pushing it. Like, you just want to be out.
No, I mean, this sometimes depends. Like, me sometimes. And Kev, like, so, like, I think about 2 years ago, or was a year ago now, me and Kev, we were talking. We were like, yo, no more, like, we're not going to force anything anymore. It's like, we're out when we do go out, and it's like, around like 11, and like we don't feel like something's actually gonna happen, I'm leaving.
Dap
before,
you up.
I would just stay out till 3-4 in the morning, hoping something.
Find another spot, hit up.
Let's just keep going, hoping something will happen, amazing. And the night just wasn't meant to be. There's nights where it just naturally flows, though, where you can be out till 4 o'clock and time just passes you by. You're like, oh, damn, we had so much fun. But if we're just out and we're just standing around and we're like, oh, we wanna go to the next bar, and I'm like, I'm not feeling it tonight, like, I can already tell, I'm going home.
Yeah. Yep. And I think,
these hangovers are vicious now at this
hangovers, age. It's a waste.
Waste of money.
Waste of money is the biggest part to me. Like, I hate wasting money now. I'm like, why am I spending all this money on this? Like, nope.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I got some wine in the crib. Don't worry. That cork ain't gonna never break.
Yeah, I saw that California, I think they're allowed to serve alcohol now till 4
a.m. 4 a.m.
Yeah. And my first thought was just, why? That's so late.
You know what's funny? Back in the days, I used to always think, like, yo, why doesn't L.A., the club stay open to 4?
I did too.
And now I'm like, why does New York stay open to 4? Like, who the hell needs to be out this late? Yeah, there's no point.
And imagine telling 23-year-old.
I know, right? Oh, shit, we going to L.A. to do the same thing we do in New York. We're going to L.A., we going to drink till 4. That's why we going.
Yeah, but you got the beach right there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
But it's pointless.
I don't know. I find a lot of my friends, too, like, before. Like, I used to go out, but I don't go out that much. But a lot of my friends now, like, they'll just go out because they have issues. Like, oh, I had a bad day at work. Let me go drink.
Get a drink.
Or, like, oh, my, like, one of my boys, he came into my friend's house, and he just, like, didn't say hi, didn't say anything. Just, like, oh, this girl broke my heart. I'm never talking to a female again. You guys down to go drink. And we're, like, this is all within a matter of 5 seconds, mind you. And we're, like, yo, like, what? Like, relax. Yeah. And we smoked and everything. And he's just like, man, like, I feel so depressed. Like, you guys want to go out now?
How old?
Our age. He's 26. But he's all, damn, I want to, nah, fuck no, it. He's a ginger. And ginger men are known as emotional. Yeah, that's
the views expressed by
Ryan.
I'll say it,
Ryan solely.
That's fine. Ginger men are known to be emotional. Ginger men. But
drop the list and this shit. Right. File.
That's fine.
Bro and I still bang with y'all. Still I think Bori still bang with you and just too. All love over here.
Heavy was good.
Gingers.
Nah, but I just found like a lot of the times people drink to cope with things, and I feel like you never really deal with it by drinking.
Absolutely.
Drink because you like drinking, not to say it like that, but not to suppress a feeling.
Yeah.
People turn alcohol way too often to
way
suppress
too
things.
Often.
Yeah, I think there's nothing wrong with going out or drinking if you are fully conscious and aware of why you're doing it. Like, I want to do it. I go out because I love dancing. I don't drink. I can go completely sober all night with my friends drinking, but I love dancing. I love being around people that like to dance, and I enjoy myself. It's fun. But, yeah, if you do it for the wrong reasons, like anything, eating, working, you know, people abuse work too. I know a lot of workaholics that because they have problems, they don't want to go home and deal with them. Mm. They stay in the office.
Oof, rage.
That is true. My mom used to do that. I'm
badass kids at home. I'll put in some overtime. Don't you worry. I'll put in some overtime.
You'll make it home. You're all right. That's funny. What about meditation? We talk a lot about it sometimes. Mm-hmm. I feel like some people never really, like, we don't really know as much about it, I feel like, as we should yet. Mm-hmm. You might be the expert.
No. By no means the expert, because I feel like meditation is something that you don't, like, graduate and you get a degree in, like, you've mastered meditation. I mean, you probably master meditation if you're, like, a master that can. There's people, like, for example, in India or so, where they can survive without water or food because
sit there for hours.
They just, like, sit and meditate, and they've reached a higher state of samadhi where they don't need, you know, water or food, whatever. But that's, like, very, very deep. meditation in the Western world, as we call it, as we know it, I mean, there's different techniques. There's lots of different techniques. There's different ways, different interpretations. I personally went to a course, which is called Vipassana, which was a 10-day silent, have I told you about this, Kevin? 10-day silent retreat where it was kind of intense. They take your phone, they take all of your belongings, they take books, they take everything away from you. There is no physical contact, no eye contact, no words spoken for 10 days. It's up in Massachusetts. And it's...
And you have to pay them for this?
It's completely it's completely free. It's donation-based.
Think about it right.
It's donation-based.
That was a good point. I didn't even think of that.
What? No.
You have to pay for this?
No. It's
what about my finances nowadays? But it's free.
It's donation-based. It's donation-based. And
so it's free, you say?
Yes.
You keep saying donation-based. I'm going to keep saying free.
Free. That's completely free.
You Zam say donation-based.
And I just walk right through.
That's true.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You going to pay anything?
Wow. But wait, how do you survive like that? With, like, they feed you, I'm hoping.
They feed you. Oh, okay. No, the food is great. The food is great.
They feed you.
And it's kind of intense. It's yeah, you open your mouth and they put sport. No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But it was great. That was a very interesting experience for me. It was very hard. The first 3 days, I was literally crying and, like, felt like banging my head against the wall because all these things that we're used to, such as your iPhone, books, and things like, even like this, there's words here on the wall that my eyes are reading. All of that is taken away from you. Even a simple thing is eye contact, where I exchange energy with you, that was taken away from you, and you're just completely left with your thoughts. And it was kind of like a very scary experience where I felt a lot of, like, I don't know, I felt like I missed my mom, even though I live with her and I was not home for 3 days. I can go, I like went off to Brazil for 2 months and did not even once think about my mom. Sorry, mom.
Shout out to your mom. Mama boy.
Loves you dearly.
I didn't think about you once, but I love you to death.
Sorry, mom. But yeah, but those 3 days, it was like, I don't know. It was just detachments, detachments from things, and it was very hard to sit still and not be able to talk to people and not be, you know, not express yourself. And I remember, like, my roommates would come, and you're in a room with complete strangers, and the girls would walk in, and immediately, like, judgments would pass through my mind and things that I'm like, oh my God, I'm a horrible person. Like, oh, she's fat. She looks miserable. I'm like, oh my God, why am I thinking these things? It's so scary. But when you're left alone in quiet with only your thoughts, you start to observe how much of that chatter is happening in your head. And on a regular, you either run with it and you follow through that thought, like, yeah, she's really fat. Oh, and you go on and believe it. Mm-hmm. But when you're left in silence, you kind of, like, get to observe it as an outsider, like as an observer, and you watch the thoughts come and go. And then by day 10, I was sitting for, like, 6 hours a day, 7 hours a day in meditation, completely, like, zenned out. It was beautiful. It was very beautiful.
Did you feel outer body?
It felt like more of the body disappeared because there was also a pagoda, which is kind of like the, I think what the Buddhist, it's the Buddhist equivalent of a church. And so you sit in this, like, room. Each pagoda has a meditation rooms, mm-hmm. and they're soundproofed, and they're completely black. It's just a door, I don't know, 2 by 2 meters, whatever. And it's completely black. So eyes open or closed, it's pitch black.
Nice.
And it completely quiet, and you sit there and you meditate, and at some point you completely lose the shape and form, and again this idea of, like, you as an individual, as a separate being of the outside world, you completely merge into the rest of the world. So it was a very interesting experience, that, and that's really how much my meditation extends. I try to continue because they suggest that you continue to meditate daily, in the morning and in the evening, using the same technique that they teach you there. For me, it was kind of hard to continue because of the crazy schedule. But now I just, like, sit on the subway and I'll just close my eyes. And honestly, there's so many different techniques. You don't have to even close your eyes. You can just simply be observing your thoughts. Like, you can sit with your eyes closed and watch all the judgments and all the thoughts, and I have to send this email, projections about the future, what I need to do, where I want to be in 2 years, and all that things. Like, for me, wow, I can't stop talking.
We told you.
For me, wow, I can't stop talking. I
told you.
Look at that realization. It's meditation 101.
Exactly.
101.
Exactly.
We told you. It's that mic. Exactly. We told you.
The mic.
But no, go ahead.
For me, what was I going to say? Now I forget.
Don't
whatever.
Pretend now. Go ahead.
So who supervises that? You said, like, you guys can't have any eye contact. Is it more like you supervising yourself?
Yeah. They are managers, so helpers that are in charge of the program there, and they kind of, like, if you know, you're not supposed to talk, but if the friend that you're staying with in, or the person you're staying with in a room is, like, crazy and snores and you can't sleep at night, there has to be someone that, not the people that snore are crazy, but...
Too late, you said it.
said it. But there has to be someone to complain to or whatever, to address if there's an issue. So, yeah, there are people that supervise you in a way. They also stay in silence.
When you meditate for, like, 6 hours at a time, is there any...
It wasn't at the time. It would usually be, like, 6 hours a day. So it would probably be, like, 2 hours, 2 hours,
okay,
2 hours.
Because I was like, do you ever take a nap? Like, you just fall asleep.
It happened, yeah. So one of the exercises, like, probably day 6 or 7 is when they ask you to kind of, like, dedicate and decide not to move for an hour, regardless of what it is. And it's almost like, don't laugh, you know? Like, when you go take a passport photo and they're like, don't smile. And I can't stop smiling for, like, 30 minutes. And they're like, stop smiling. And I'm like, I can't.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's like the same thing. Like, they tell you don't move for an hour, and you're like, oh, crap.
I got an itch.
Exactly, exactly. And then everything all of a sudden starts to be itchy. So, yeah, I mean, like, pain happens and, like, itchy happens, and sometimes, like, you want to sleep. Sometimes you want to take a nap, and the body goes whatever. But you, like, try. It happens. It happens. Like, the teacher that I follow, it's a spiritual teacher that I follow, he says that's the trick of the mind, that's the way of the mind to trick you, right at the most important point, when if my teacher is making a point to distract you, or, oh, I gotta go to the bathroom, or let me take a nap, and you fall asleep. It's like, he says that's the way of the mind to kind of, like, distract you of the most important pointing, of the most important, and you don't know. But it happens. Yeah.
So I read a, for some reason, like I got into Buddhism. I forgot exactly, the OA. It's a show on Netflix since we watch Netflix now.
Okay.
But I got into Buddhism.
About my girlfriend.
See if she approves.
But one of the things they said was like Siddhartha. Basically, he was the main Buddhist. And I don't remember it correctly, but one of the stories was while he would meditate, he would get distracted a lot of the times. And his main distraction was his family. Mm-hmm. So he got into a point where he started thinking about like his wife, and he was trying to basically reach the highest form of meditation, which is like an outer body experience. You basically are, you feel it, like you're not in your body. You're basically going through time, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And his, they said that he had a thought of his wife and about how selfish it was that he was leaving her because he was going on this spiritual journey. Mm. And he started thinking about his wife and how sad his kids was going to be, mm-hmm. That he left. Through all that, he started doubting himself about what he was doing.
Attachment.
And he was basically, he was attaching himself to these thoughts. And mm-hmm. he wasn't allowing himself to grow spiritually. Yep. And he realized, like, I don't know if someone in his mind was speaking to him or he was speaking to himself, but he realized to let go of these things. Mm. And in his mind, like, he slowly started to let go, and he's, like, one of the most devout Buddhist. Like, he is the Buddhist, basically, but mm-hmm. that's one of the things I heard. Like, you attach yourself to your most attached things. So, like, if it's my girlfriend, Chewy, I don't know if you still care for Chewy anymore. It's my little shih tzu. He forgot about him.
I forget about him.
Daddy still loves you. I'm just a deadbeat.
But that's like when I read that, it's hard like to detach yourself from things, and like that is, I feel like, one of the ways your mind does trick you in a way, like
totally.
Oh, you want to do this, you really want to do
totally.
This, you don't.
And for each one of us is different thing. Mm-hmm. Like each one of us has like a weak point where you feel completely vulnerable or like attached or maybe fully identified by a certain quality of yours or a certain thing that you do, and that's like you may. Kind of transcend every other thing, and that would be kind of like the last ace of the mind, if you will, the last like aha, I got you here though, because I know how much you care about your family, I know how much you care about your
crazy.
So I use Headspace to meditate. Mm-hmm. Shouts to Andy.
Shouts to Andy.
And what you guys are saying, I do get distracted as well, but mm-hmm. it's guided, so he comes along like every couple of minutes and just reminds you. Like, let the thoughts come and go and just focus. Because I couldn't imagine just doing it on my own yet. I'm not there yet. But the guided for me. Really
no, helped. Guided meditations are great. And it's so interesting. Actually, on that course, the Vipassana course that I did, during the day, it's kind of like certain parts of it were guided, but majority was just silence. But at the end, they would play a video by Gwenka, who's kind of like the teacher and the founder of that technique. Mm-hmm. And everything you're going through throughout the day, like the first 3 days, like the hard time I described to you guys, like how I was having difficulty, the attachment to my mom, to my cat, to home, all these things. He described like every single night for 10 days what I went through. Everyone went through the same experience. And we're all just like, are you kidding me? Like we're all just like this, like laughing and really like energetically felt like we all experienced the same thing. In a different shape and form, it was experienced a different way, but we all felt the attachments, and he would address it at night, just like you're saying, like, okay, I know your mind was very distracted today. I know your body was really hurting today. I know you experienced some deep attachments. Like, I can't remember exactly specifics, but it was very, very interesting. We were all just, like, laughing, and we couldn't believe how on point it was. And guided meditations are great, I think, for that, especially here for the West, because we need that. Like, we live in a crazy, crazy world full of distractions, full of instant gratification, of words everywhere, information everywhere, everything is just like pop up here, pop up there, commercials, advertisements, and our mind is completely overwhelmed. I don't know how to shut it down. Like, I seriously don't. I still meditate, and I do yoga, and I try to, you know, stay away from a lot of, you know, and it's sad. Like, I don't follow politics. I don't follow cultural things. And I have no references in the office when they talk about what happened at Miss Universe or whatever. Like, I don't know anything about these things. And it's kind of, like, lame. But it's my way of surviving, really. It's survival at this point.
It is extremely hard to detach from things. Because, like, one of my, like, biggest issues is, like, me trying to go to sleep at night. Like, even if I shut everything off, my brain will still be, like, running rampant. I think about shit all the time. Mm-hmm. And, like, most of the time, like, when I fall asleep, I don't even know I fell asleep. Like, mm-hmm. I wake up the next morning and be like, oh, shit, I fell asleep. Like, I'm not like most people. Like, I know a lot of people can be like, oh, I'm going to sleep and then just fall asleep. Yeah. I can never do that. Like, I'll lay there for a little bit in, like, darkness and, like, I won't fall asleep until, like, my brain, like, truly just shuts down. Then I just, my body can't take no more. Then I'll fall asleep.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to, like, shut it off. I'm, like, constantly thinking about 80,000 things at one time.
I agree. I've experienced that many times. And it's interesting, like, leaving the office and going to gymnastics because the two jobs are completely different. One is very, like, free and creative, and I get to do and inspire the girls and, you know, be kind of like a leader or role model. And my other job is more structured and more, like, dates and deadlines and get everyone to deliver everything on time.
The same thing with like, us in this
podcast.
In the podcast.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like Matt deadlines. Everything's super professional, straight. I get here, I'm like, all right, fuck this, fuck that. Yep.
Yeah.
Fuck this, fuck that.
Exactly. But when I take the train for an hour between my two jobs, I realize, like, my brain is still going, because I'm multitasking a lot at my job, and, like, my brain is still going crazy speed, and I pull out my phone 7 times, realizing there's nothing to do on my phone. Put it in your pocket and leave it there.
I do this all the time.
Just freaking leave it there. Stop shaking.
You just gotta push the button. See.
Exactly.
Well, okay, nothing. Okay.
Something vibrates.
You know what it's like when you're a kid. There's nothing to eat in the refrigerator. You keep opening, but you keep going back and looking like something.
I still do that.
Okay. Nothing. Same thing from 2 minutes ago. Nothing there. Okay.
And they'll make it whatever's in the fridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine is the internet. Because I'm working on a computer and I might be listening to music or listening to a podcast and they say something and that triggers something in my head. Yeah. I stop what I'm doing. I look up that thing and then it's like when you go, you ever go through on these YouTube wormholes where you watch a video, I don't do that at work. I really don't. But it triggers thoughts that remind me of something. Yeah. And then if you don't stop yourself.
Yeah.
A smart thing by YouTube to have that autoplay function.
Oh yes.
Sitting there for hours, shit is playing. Like, oh, okay. Like, Netflix does that. Like, everything in society, like, any type of, like, streaming service does that, where it just keeps going. Uh-huh. And you just, like, sit there. And, like, people, like, society thinks it's cool to, like, binge watch TV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I do it because it's a break from, like, work. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm, it's actually crazy to sit there for hours and just keep watching something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. And that thing that you say about the break, I mean, probably the only thing I watch on Netflix, and you guys are going to laugh, but I watch Friends. Jerome's disappointed. I should leave now.
No, it's cool.
I'll be there.
Cool.
But yeah, that's exactly what I realized, that the past 3 days I've kind of been, like, exhausted from work, and I sit on the couch and there's nothing going on in my head. I don't even pay attention because I've seen the episode so many times. Mm-hmm. I'm just, like, staring at a moving motion. Something. Just, like, because staring at a wall would look weird, so you're just staring at a TV, but not really
looking through it.
Yep.
I don't mind that now because I know what I usually used to do to kill time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, you're taking it a day at a time.
I'm getting better.
It's an improvement.
No, hell yeah. It's definitely better than how we used to live.
We're getting older.
If I do this for a couple hours on a Saturday, it's cool. We all need a break.
Yep.
We're getting older. So that I'm saying. We're not older, but we're getting older.
Older.
I think we're just maturing.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
What more could we do? My liver shut me down. Though. it failed me a couple of times, and I was like, I gotta listen to you. No more.
That is crazy though. When we got into college, it was like, oh, we could drink. Like that was I started drinking when I was 18 with you guys. That was the first time I've ever drank.
I don't know what age you drink it. I ain't drink till I was 21.
Fine,
Kevin. Not yet, same. I like a beer or so in high school. College. Senior year, but yeah, college. College when it got a lot.
I didn't drink a lot in high school, but like
people would have
parties. So like in my high school, there were people who like had their own apartments. Mm-hmm. It was like very
really
think about it now, it's like very odd. Like people used to throw parties all the time.
There'll be alcohol there and stuff.
Yeah, people, you pay the neighborhood junkie to go get you the shit. What? That's what it was.
Yeah. Nah, but how alcohol is a part of our society, though. It's like a step we have to overcome at one point. Like, they put them in front of us, and they're like, let's see how you do with it. You're going to either go die, become an alcoholic. I remember, too, when we got in trouble for having alcohol in the dorm, and I had to go to, like, the AA.
Is that when I turned around?
Yep, that's when y'all turned around, yeah.
Okay, don't look good in there.
Shout out to
Jarrell. We got to go back. Rose like, yo, just let's go back.
No need for all of us to go down.
Shout out to Chris who knocked on the door.
Listeners, Chris went back.
He went back. No, he went back to tell us that public safety was coming. When Chris public safety back. Was already in the room.
Lost the good one.
No, but they put you in these alcohol meetings and they make you take these tests and tell you, like, how alcohol is bad and you shouldn't be doing it. And it's like, really? Like, it's serious out here. Like, people really get dependent.
It's because they put it on a pedestal.
I think in American society.
Like, in Europe, like, they just ingratiate that in their everyday life. Yeah. Like, kids start drinking wine, dinner, you know? So, like, it's not like a fetish with it. Like, when we get 20, it's like, damn, we have to drink.
We have to.
We have to do this. No, so I feel like, damn, we got to do it.
You know, it's like the forbidden apple.
And then you get it and, like, you just fucking go ham with it.
I didn't like it at first. I almost threw up. And it's like, why would I fucking drink this? And then 6 months later, well, yo, what bottle we get it? That we finished the day of.
What bottle? Y'all was living life on, what 40 we get? Huh?
Oh, I mean, there's like 8 people on that bottle.
Oh, okay. Come on. 40s and cans.
Partners in poverty. You know, RSM check.
Shouts to Double J.
Yeah. What
is there anything else?
Traveling.
Hobbies, travel, yeah, interest.
Traveling. You travel a lot, as people will find out on your Instagram.
It just happens. So I travel for my work because we produce events across the America. I travel for competitions because... Balling.
Go ahead, keep talking. Big money boy.
Hey, I work 3 jobs. I might as well spend my money.
Getting stunned on them. Work.
Work 3 jobs. I might as well spend it on something.
You don't got nothing to spend it on, so...
Okay. That's not how I sounded. Stun like.
That's cool. That's what your inner spirit sounded like, though.
No, I mean, I travel for work. I travel for competitions with the girls mostly in the spring. And then for personal trips, so of course. Any federal holiday or any day I have off, I am like, yes, where am I going? Mm-hmm. What's happening? And yes, thank God I have now my work visa so I can exit and enter the United States.
Be careful, though.
I know, Mr. Trump, we don't know.
Like Bulgaria,
they're
not on the list.
They're not on the approved list.
Be careful.
I don't see them here.
I know. If Germany's bad, I don't know about Bulgaria.
Sean, come check this. You know my eyes bad. Control F. No. Sorry.
Sound weird. No.
But yeah, I kind of was stuck in the United States. I mean, I couldn't really travel for like two years, I think. So I was here legally working and residing, but I couldn't leave the States. So now I got my visa and I've been like trying to travel more. Mm-hmm. I'm dating someone in London, so I kind of have to travel. Yeah.
Oh, you lost chains.
How's that?
We're out here living.
I got a man in London. I got 3 jobs.
So, what's your next trip?
Next trip is probably, well, there's one in Milwaukee at the end of June because it's national championships for the girls.
Okay.
And then July, I'll probably be going to Bulgaria for my best friend's wedding. That's like kind of like mandatory ones.
Gotcha.
We just came back from Virginia and West Virginia, which is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Hiking. Yay.
Do you meditate out there where you go, or you just...
This time it wasn't. It was more like very active. Mm-hmm. We did a very intense like 12 kilometer hikes, like hiking, climbing rocks, like rock climbing. So it was more like physically active. But sometimes, yeah, it depends on where I go. In March, I went to India for 10 days, actually 2 weeks. And that was truly profound, like, beautiful experience. I wanted to go to India for a very, very long time. The travel is very long. It takes like 30 something hours because we it's like you lose completely an idea of who you are, what life is this, what planet, what time zone, where are you, like, no idea. You leave one day and then 2 days later you arrive.
That's crazy.
It's so confusing but it was fun. It was just funny landing in Delhi and then like taking a 6 hour bus ride or a car ride, it depends on what you're taking, to like deep towards the Himalayas in a small city where I was, Rishikesh. And it's crazy. It's like a single road that they turn into a highway, basically, where you have trucks and buses and cars and motorcycles and donkeys and cows and monkeys and kids and entire villages around it. It's a single road, like not even paved or like...
It's just dirt road.
And you complain about being stuck in the United States for 2 years.
I know. First world problem.
One of us.
I was stuck in the United States for 2 years.
It's true.
That's crazy.
So just going to all these different places, does that do anything for your spirit, your energy?
Yeah, it's interesting because my guru, the teacher that I follow, I went to India to see him, to be in his presence. And he always says, like, human beings are addicted to experiencing. And I think that for some time I've felt that when I see someone's travel pictures or something, like, I get bitter. I feel like I'm missing out on life.
That's a Jarrell original right there. Animal, put it in quotes too. Human beings are addicted to experiencing. Go ahead, though.
And that, yeah, it felt like, I'm sure we've all experienced that, like some kind of sense of like, oh my God, I'm missing out. Look at this person. Like, I want to go to Machu Picchu and all these places. And
I want to go to the Himalayas.
I'll put a damn or two out when I see some pics.
But then the second, like, something inside, like, calmed down and said, you know what? You're going to go. It's fine. Like, it's just, and it's in, I guess India was one of those things where I've dreamed about going to India for 2 years, and it was completely profound, just like out of words. I can't even put words to it to describe what I experienced there. But it was exactly that. It was just an experience that came and passed. And there's memories of it. There's pictures of it. There's the memory in my heart and in my mind, and the memory of meeting the guru. But is just another memory. It's just another experience. It's just another thing. It's living every day in New York. It added something to it. It changed me in a way. Like, I met people, I made new friends. Like, it added something to your identity, to your being. But if you allow only these things to identify you, you would never have enough of traveling and enough of experiencing and enough of those things, because you would always want more and more and more. Just like we want more alcohol and more food and more work and more this, more that. It's just another thing that we want more and more of, and we're not completely satisfied with just a single trip or a single, or maybe you never travel in your life, and that's fine too. It's just how your life is supposed to be.
So do you think we should be attached to things?
No one. I think attachment is a bad thing, and I think we are all attached to lots of different things. I'm attached to a lot of things. My cat being one of them. It's interesting because I like think about these things. I went to India, and where there's so much poverty and so much blessings, and people are very spiritually aware, I guess. Like, everywhere you look is like pictures of gods, and like the people wake up 6 in the morning and they go and touch the Ganga, which is the river, the Ganges, the river walking that's nearby the city. Like, they worship the trees, they worship the river, they worship their food, they worship the cows, like everyday things that we take for granted. And then, you know, like, I can walk around there, like, wearing whatever, da, 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 but then I come to New York, I'm like, oh my God, these J. Crew shoes and these things, like, and it makes no sense, you know? Like, I go to places like that, and I go hiking, and you're completely free, and you don't care about these things, and yet, like, I've recognized that that's an attachment of mine, is, like, how do you look, or, like, what do you buy, what do you spend your money on, like, when I buy a certain pair of shoes, what does that tell about you as a person? Mm-hmm. And you identify, it's identity, it's just how you identify yourself. And that's something like I need to let go of, is like I don't know exactly what, but let go of it. There's so many things I need to let go of. So many things.
People are highly attached, I think.
Oh yeah.
To like fashion and brands. Mm-hmm. Like for example, today I saw this man, and he had these. I promise, they were like just these regular black dress shoes. It looked regular. I was like, oh, they're nice. Like they look regular dress shoes.
Yeah.
But it had a red stripe going down the bottom of the heel. So Prada's. I knew it was Prada. But he had his feet, because he had his feet, like he had his legs stretched out on the tram. So I knew it was Prada, but I was like, yo, it was just any old regular pair of shoes. You just paid about $300 to $400 extra just to have that, red stripe on the bottom of your on the bottom of your foot.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yo, people are really like addicted to like high fashion
and that's how they look. And they make those out of cow, which is crazy.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
They make those out of cow. That's why they're sort of expensive.
Damn.
Yeah.
I mean, about a good 10 years ago, everyone in New York City was killing these cows.
That's what I'm saying.
Prada's was out here popping all over the place.
That was the wear.
Poor cows.
No, that's something I read too, like attachments and like, but that's when I get confused because it's like I'm attached to my family, like my nieces, and it's hard to like let go of, especially your family.
Well, that's the thing that I haven't fully like understood about myself, and that's kind of like where I've run into a wall a little bit, where I feel like on one end, like being spiritually aware or following some kind of spiritual path, you have to be to a certain degree selfish,
mm-hmm.
and or what's perceived to be selfish from the outside world, like you become detached from things and people that love you and you care about them, like Kevin, you were asking me earlier about friends where people are like, well, you don't care about me anymore. You don't, you know, you don't need me in that way anymore. I'm like, no, I don't need you. I love you. I love you actually deeply. I love you more because I don't love you for being Kevin, the individual. I love you as being a reflection of me and therefore us being one. But it's hard. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, that's serious. It's like
the only way people can, they don't listen to words. They only listen to the actions. Mm-hmm. So I think no matter how much you tell people what they mean to you, unless you show them, but you can't show them because they can't really be in your life like that.
Yeah.
So it's tough.
It kind of comes out to be selfish unless the other person has the same spiritual understanding or at least tries to understand where you're coming from. And that's why I love my mom. You know, we live together. We're really good friends. But then there's often when it comes to the topic of that kind of like part of my life, and it's kind of been a priority for me, like spirituality. She gets mad, and you know, it's not something we agree on because she's scared. Like as a mother, she's scared that I will go a certain way that would not be a good way for me, and she sees how I become more detached from her and like some things in my life that she wouldn't want me to be, you know. And then it's like, do you become less ambitious because you become more detached from things? Do you want less in life? Do you want less money, less career? It's a thing that I feel like I understand in my heart for myself, but it's hard for me to put in words and that I know that I haven't fully understood it. If I can't put words to it, if I can't say it out loud, if you can't explain it to a 3-year-old, then you haven't fully grasped it. And it's the one thing that I am kind of like, how do I remain driven and ambitious in the person that I am? And you continue to accomplish and follow your dreams and yet kind of let go and just be and let life flow.
Mm. I was just about to say, how do you let things be and then also be ambitious?
It's a very difficult balance. I think in society makes it worse. Because you have to make money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have to survive, especially living in New York City. Yeah. So it's like, I don't even know how to balance all those. Like, how to be true to yourself 100% in both directions.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's people that move out the city, they move, I don't know, to like a farm or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they farm for the rest of their lives. But if you want more in life, but then is that ego because you want more in life?
Or exactly. You attaching yourself? No, not necessarily. And that's what I like that the guru that I kind of follow, he says, you don't have to run away. Because a lot of people think like, okay, yes, you can't fully like be yourself and maybe like contribute in New York City because their life is so crazy and busy and this and that. Okay, the solution is I run away and go live on a farm somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
For some people that works, and maybe for some people that is a decision, but it's not necessary for your peace of mind because, again, you're just perceiving. Like, whether you're in a farm, whether you're in a mountain, whether you're in a cave in the Himalayas, where you're in the middle of Times Square, you're just a perceiver. You're the observer of all these experiences that are happening around you. And you can make the choice whether you follow and you go with the thoughts that are like making you crazy, or you can just remain as the observer. Mm-hmm. And I frankly think that staying in the middle of all the madness and trying to observe is a better thing to do. Because when I was in Brazil, I was living on top of a mountain with nothing around me. And it was great. I mean, no problems, nothing. Like, everyone's happy. It's peaceful. There's, like, how could you get mad? Like, there's birds tripping, sun shining. Like, what is there? I'm sleeping on the hammock, eating breakfast. Lunch is there. Dinner is there. There's nothing to do. Mm-hmm. Like, of course you're going to be at peace. Try to be at peace when someone's screaming at you, at your face, or someone's like, you see a mom and a child hungry on the street or whatever. Like, you see all these things where you have to deal on a daily basis, and that's, I think, the hardest thing to keep your balance. And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is exactly. I don't think it's to not be driven. I don't think it's to not follow your dreams. I think it's to, when you see that things are, like, when you've decided in your heart, like, I want to do this, and you see that things are not really working out, maybe you accept them. Maybe you kind of let go and see, like, okay, you know what? Life is not, this is not meant to happen right now.
She wanted to hear these gems you were saying. She really needed to come closer.
those are, like, really great points. But I also want to, like, back up to your question where you were, like, what if you want more in life? I think a big part of people wanting more, well, the reasoning behind you wanting more, it depends on why you want more. Because people sometimes want more for, like, more attachments. Like, I want more for more money. I want more so I can have a bigger house, more so I can show off to this person, this, that, and the third. So I think if you want more, it depends on why you really want more. But then that could just lead to a whole nother cycle of other things. Such a very difficult puzzle, this life that we live in.
Yeah.
No, I think what you said is right on point, like, bingo, like, the intention behind it. It's really your intention about each action. Is it, I'm doing this to prove myself? When you talk about yourself, are you just being genuine and talking with detachment? I'm this, I'm that, but nothing really is like, oh, I'm this because I did this and that and this and that. Like, are you identifying? Are you being, like you said, what are the reasons why you're doing it? What's the intention behind it that you do everything?
People identify themselves with, like, their careers. Like, so funny. Josh, I know Josh. One of my friends, Josh, I went to law school with. He works at a law firm or whatever. And the first day he worked there, people had to say their name and something, an interesting fact about themselves. And the kid was like, oh, my name's da-da-da, and I went to Harvard. Like, that was an interesting fact about himself. Like, now you're at a law firm where everyone's smart, everyone went to, you know, a great law school, and that's the most interesting thing you could think about yourself is to tell people you went to Harvard.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I was like, damn, like, that's crazy that was his only thing that he had about himself.
Mm. Yeah, so that's another thing that my guru says, like, you know you're not that because when that's taken away, you're still there.
That's true.
When things that you identify with, like, when you just remove them and you're still there, you still exist. Naked, clothed, hungry, doesn't matter. You're still here.
Shit. Yeah. I gotta reevaluate my life when I get home now.
I gotta think about how I introduce myself to people.
What's an interesting fact about you, Drew?
I don't have any.
Oh, stop it.
I'm out here just living the regular life, taking it day by day. An interesting fact about me.
Makes weird noises.
I don't know what an interesting fact. I don't know about an interesting fact. I can tell you some, like, weird things I enjoy doing.
do we want to hear?
I enjoy researching different cities and places to travel to.
Yeah?
With really no intentions of ever going. Like, the places that I think I would never go to are the ones I'm always, like, researching. Like, I know a shit ton about North Dakota.
Say like, one.
Nah. Not but no, like, I do research, like, a lot of random places and, like, our YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Like, where people are, that's like, cool. Giving, like, tours of the city or something like that, or, like, random countries. And I'm like, okay, I experienced it now. Because, like, I want to know something that I won't know. Like,
right.
Like, I probably will go to Brazil one day. So right. There's no need for me to experience that through YouTube or something like that. But I'd like to experience random things I never do. Like, I probably won't ever ride a PATH train. So I might sit down and be like, oh, let me see what the patch train looks like.
YouTube.
Like just random shit like that. Okay, I wrote it now. All right. Next. I do like very weird shit like that. Like things I think I'm never going to do in real life. I'll experience it some other way.
That's cool.
That is funny.
It's very weird.
What about you, Kevin?
I don't know.
Spotlight. Right?
It is. I don't know. Can you come back to me? I got
it. Yes, we'll come back to Kevin.
It has to be something that no one knows that I never said.
Just saying the fact. We can know it, but the people might not know it.
I like space.
Oh, yeah. You said that.
I wish I was an astronaut. Like that. Like, they had an application actually on the NASA website. That shit was way too long for me. I don't have the patience. I don't have the patience for this right now. I'm good.
That is too long. I gave up.
But that, yeah, I like space.
Did you see Interstellar?
That's why I like space.
Oh, beautiful.
That's
movie.
Like one of the, like, I'm attached to the day I went to see it. Like, beautiful I remember movie. Watching it and, like, after finding out too, like it can happen. That's something that, you know, mm-hmm. mathematically it's possible.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So
it's always something like, and I think I even always reverted back to Kev, like, oh, the movie is like one of my greatest.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Joys, I guess. Like, I watch it every year.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's a great movie. It's a great movie.
Tattoos. Like, I would have not gotten the tattoos if it wasn't for that movie. Yeah. Either. Like.
Yeah, that's interesting.
What about you? Oh, wait.
Kevin.
You ready, Kev?
No. I forgot.
Still need a minute? Oh, right. Come on, Kevin. You're not that ordinary. You're weird. You weirdo.
You gotta come back.
That spotlight beam.
Me? Oh, I have a lot. I can just boom, boom, boom. I love mason jars. I have an entire collection. I'm addicted to mason jars.
Mason jars?
All sizes. I have a gallon one, a shot glasses, a wine glass, all kinds of mason jars. I use them for all kinds of purposes.
That's very weird.
That is weird. Yeah, I like.
You drink out of them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Carry a lot of stuff in them. Another thing.
Never mind.
You know, well, you guys probably don't know this, but like, I really like sticking my finger when a girl puts a ponytail. Like when you put a ponytail, I like sticking my finger in the hole.
Yeah,
wow. It's so satisfying. It's like the most satisfying thing. Just like, yeah, that's me.
Kevin.
Do that again.
Bubeska.
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 What does that mean?
It's just a nickname from Bulgaria. My coach used to call me.
Bubeska.
Bubeska. Yeah.
Sounds a mix of Bulgarian and Spanish.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Just.
Was it a man?
No.
Okay, good.
Or I think gymnastics is only women.
All right, good. Cause that nickname. All right, cool. Anyway.
You dirty
mind.
Oh,
that's cute, Bubeska.
Dirty mind.
All right.
He'll never change.
I had to get that out. It was like building up inside of me. So how can I deliver this joke? Anyway, we appreciate you coming through.
Thanks, guys.
It was good
seeing
you. It was good catching up.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. You see, you said you were nervous, and then out of nowhere, couldn't get the mic up or out of your hand.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you for coming through. Yeah. As always, it's cooling out.
No,
see you guys next week. No. We gotta chill out with
okay.
it.
Okay.
They'll do if they want to.
Okay.
The natural listeners would just gravitate to it, and they'll do what their heart tells them to do, as Bori said.
I'm confused. What are you talking about?
So normally we have like a segment at the end where like telling the listeners they need to rate the podcast, subscribe, share with people.
Okay.
But
they know the deal.
Yeah, but I think the people who like actually are true fans and listeners will actually just do that stuff naturally.
Right.
Just
follow their heart.
Yeah, so there's no point in us constantly like shoving it down their throats.
Yeah.
Just like, you'll do it. So as always, we appreciate your support,
the love.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And it's cooling out. See you next week.
Stay cool.
You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. We coolin' out. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. We coolin' out.
Mom. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.